Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to be with you again. If you ask anybody who does preaching and does sermons or even leads meetings and things, and you ask them where they get the inspiration, some might say, well, reading my Bible and God just sort of puts something in my mind. Others might say, well, I've been listening to a song or you know, some things like that, and God just puts it in your mind, doesn't he? And you, or you think of something and think, well, yeah, that'll make a good sermon. Might not even be anything to do with church. And sometimes sermons come from life experiences, don't they? Which is a little bit what this is this morning. Like, I'm going to be talking about something which I thought about, which came about from a life experience. And I started thinking about it and thinking, well, you know, it talks a lot about this in the Bible. I'm not talking about everybody here, but I'm talking about myself here. But as you get older, you tend to put a bit of weight on. It's not as easy to get off. You think, well, a bit more sport, a bit more of this, you know, and I'll lose a bit of weight. Well, mine's gradually been going up a little bit at a time. I'm probably heavier now than I've ever been. And we thought, right, we'll check your BMI. Everybody know what BMI is? Body mass index, height, weight, age, into your calculator and see what comes up. Well, I thought I might come up as overweight, but I came up as obese for some reason, so that ain't getting used again. But we do these type of things, don't we, when we think about things like that. And it was this experience with the BMI and some other people that we're talking about that said they started going to the gym. And then what set me off on this, because I started thinking about well-being. You know, when you go to the gym, I've booked him for it, me and both, Diane decided we were both going to do it. So we booked him for the gym, but I've not had my assessment yet, but Diane has. And when she had her assessment, he sent her home with a load of bumf like they do, you know, pamphlets and, oh, eat this, do this, this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be eating, this is all these type of things. And I read some of those things and I started thinking about sort of my body mass index. Forgot where I was going now. That's another sign of getting old. And it starts talking about these words keep coming up a lot, well-being. And it's talking about more than just your physical health. It's talking about, when they use that word well-being in the world these days, it's talking about your mental health, you know, and it's talking about your physical health, and it's talking about your whole sort of demeanor of life, really, isn't it? And they talk about this word well-being, and I got thinking about this, I got this stuck in my mind, this well-being, and I thought, well, what does the Bible say about this type of thing, you know, well-being, not just one thing, but our whole, the whole of us, all of us being right and being well, in God. And I came up with the word, which you'll have definitely heard before, shalom. And when that's what we're going to look at this morning. I wanted to have a sort of in-depth look at it. We're going to do it from the point of view of three different readings. But first of all, I just really want to find out sort of what people think shalom is. And I'm going to sort of explain a little bit where I think it is. And some scriptures which I've been looking at. First of all, I think that around the world, shalom is generally understood to mean peace. And, you know, peace is a big part of shalom, but there's a lot more within the blessings of shalom when you wish shalom on someone that are just as important as peace, really. You know that in the Jewish world especially, shalom is used not only as a greeting, but as a farewell as well. And there's various responses, which I'm not going to try and say because they're foreign to me. But they use shalom as a greeting and a farewell. And we all probably know that Hebrew words have a lot more meaning than at first they just seem. And sometimes when they're translated into English, they lose some of the meaning. Shalom is one of those words that seems to get interpreted as peace, but it loses a lot of meaning if we just think of it as peace. Shalom is a feeling of contentment and wholeness, like I said, well-being and harmony. And the it's the opposite of discontentment, incompleteness, ill feeling, and chaos, or stress, or turmoil. They're the opposite things. Shalom is an inner peace, contentment, harmony, even when life is battering us and it might seem hard to carry on. How can that be? I want us to look at three places in the Bible where this shalom word for peace is used. And speaking this beautiful blessing onto people's lives is speaking wonderful things on them and their circumstances. Some words that describe shalom as well are, as I've said, completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness of mind, tranquility, fullness. Even rest comes under the umbrella of shalom. And also the absence of agitation, you know, and discord. And I believe everyone in this place, including me, probably needs God's shalom on their life in some way, and in one of these areas or more. You know, when I look around, I know you could do it in here. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what your problems are, but in our church and in every church where I go, and I look around and I can look into people's lives and I can see where there's a battle going on. You know, sometimes it's for health, sometimes it's for mental health, sometimes it's just, I don't know, they've lost the joy, or, you know, you can see in their lives that there's a spiritual battle going on. And that's a bit where I'm going to touch a little bit about as well, on shalom, how that affects our spiritual battle. The first reading that I want to look at is from Genesis, because it was always God's intention to bless his children and to bless us as his children with shalom. And I believe that it still is. You know, and the first encounter that comes across is very, very in the start of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read 27, verse 27 to 31. And it's more or less at the end of the sixth day of creation, where God's made everything wonderful. And then he makes Adam and Eve. And this is what he says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds. So it shall be as food to you, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see at this stage that God has created man and woman, trees and plants and the animals and everything that creeped on the earth. He created the sun and moon, you know, and the stars and the tides and the land. He'd done it all. And then God looked on what he'd made and he says, "Yeah, you know, it's very good, this. This is a good thing that I've made." He made Adam and Eve, didn't he? But did you catch what it said in verse 28? Well, it said, as soon as God had created Adam and Eve, this is what it said in verse 28, the first four words, "Then God blessed them." Then God blessed them. Then God shalomed them. The word used there for blessing, for blessed, is very, very similar in Hebrew to shalom. Not just give them a load of wealth, or, you know, made them physically better, but actually blessed their whole well-being, everything that they had. He gave them more than just peace. He gave them, as you know from the story, he gave them love, he gave them a family, he gave them a place to live, he gave them health, he gave them food, and he gave them a place in his creation that was very good and a very blessed life. That's shalom. That's sort of the first instance in the Bible where I see that word coming into play. Another one which you'll know well, and I've preached on this a lot, so I'm not going to preach on the normal part of this. I'm going to preach on the meaning behind it and how it's set in Scripture. So let's look at another reading from the Bible, and it's from Numbers 6, verse 22 to 26. And you'll know this well. It's the Aaronic blessing on the people. This is what it says. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So like I said, I'm not going to preach on each individual part of this blessing as I've done in the past, because we would be here all week, and I've done that before, but I wanted to sort of really put it into context of the situation that was happening at that time and why this, some of the things said here can be quite seem quite unusual into that situation. I just want us to understand that the situation into which this God-given blessing was given. So what happens is that Moses gets a word from God, and he tells Aaron, who is the high priest then, and his sons and his family servants, priests, to pronounce it over the people, this blessing that we've just read. And I believe that it was more than that. I believe that Aaron was prophesying this over the people as he said it. It wasn't just, "Oh, well, God will bless you," and, you know, and everything. Well, you know, he's pronouncing the power of God on people's lives. You know, he's pronouncing the blessing of God on this family, these children of Israel. So the blessing was, I'm just going to do this in brief, and I'm already interpreting it into my words, six blessings, but we're only going to look at the last one. First of all, he said that he will bless them and their families. Secondly, he said he would keep them safe. Third part was that he would look them in the face and speak with them, and that talks about being in the glory of God. He said he would be gracious to them. That means pour out unearned favour. We know what grace is, don't we? He said that he would be very close to them so that they felt his presence. And then the last one, it says, and give them peace. Well, that word there used for peace is shalom. Not just a quiet sit there with your head down, you know, enjoying a nice quiet minute. That's not what it is. And all these things are powerful words to be prophesied over people's lives then and now. And the word peace used here is shalom. As well as all the other blessings here, God wanted to bring his peace into that situation. You know, when we look at the situation that these people were in at the time, the children of Israel, it will prove that shalom is not the absence of battle or trouble, but it's an inner peace that comes by knowing God is in control and is on our sides, and that he brings his countenance and his protection to us as we war and as we go through the trials of life. You know, as I said earlier, when I look at people's lives sometimes, and in my own life, the battle can be many things that we have. Some things, it might be a daily battle, some things, you know, personal things. You know, the children of Israel had been slaves for 40 years prior to this. They'd had an hard life. They'd left Egypt and they were pursued by the Egyptian army and thought they were going to die. And then by the miraculous power of God, they were saved, weren't they? Then they and their families, this is a good one, right from the old people, right through to the newborn babies, all had to go into the desert. Promise of food, but not knowing where it was going to come from. They had to pack up and move every single day. They didn't know where their next McDonald's was coming from. They had to pack up and move every single day. They had to unpack every day. I can only think that these were stressful times for people. Anyone ever been camping? You know what it is, putting the tents up and down? Fancy doing that with 4 million people or however many there were. Children, old people, animals, everything, every day. They had to do that every day or every couple of days and move on. Then on top of that, they were on the edge of Jordan by the time this blessing was pronounced on them. The barrier into the promised land the promised land of blessing. And if you read the Bible, it says that they were promised a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But before they could get to the promised land, Jericho stood in the way. Massive battles and wars had to be won before they could take that promised land. Even more stress. You probably know at this stage they weren't drinking milk or eating honey. You know, they weren't in the promised land. They'd had an hard job getting to where they were, and life was hard. When Aaron was told to prophesy blessing over them, to prophesy peace over them, and then this word shalom comes into play here, it was much more than that. Their lives were far from tranquil and peaceful, and it was going to be like that for a long time. It was going to stay like that. It wasn't going to change for a while. But yet God spoke these words of peace over their lives, this shalom. Now, if this shalom peace was meant to be an outer peace, then it doesn't make sense, as they were and would be battling to survive and conquer their enemies for many years to come, as we know from the Bible. This Aaronic blessing and shalom given to them at this time, even prophesied over their lives, was not an outer peace, but it was an inner peace which God was going to put on them. A peace, a completeness brought on by knowing that whatever situation they found themselves in and their families in, that God was in control of it all, that God has his hand on it. That would bring his presence and his protection on them. If you think about it, at that time, that was the exact blessing that the Israelite people needed at that time. You know, they would very rarely experience times of outward peace in the next, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it took to conquer Canaan. But even in the middle of battle and hardship, they were to have an inward rest and peace and harmony brought on by the presence of God, regardless of the outward circumstances. And I've got to say, it should be like that for us as well. We have the battles, you know, we're going to have the battles in the future. We might be going through all sorts of battles in our own physical lives this very morning, you know, in our own spiritual lives. But we have God with us, inside us, and it should bring an inner tranquility that we know that God has got things in hand. You know, the shalom of God can be upon us all, not only when we are at outward peace, but also the shalom of God can be all over us when we need it the most. In battle situations, in stress, in poor health, in situations where we can't see the way out of it. That's when we actually need this shalom even more than in normal life. I know people, and you know people, and it may even be us, that our everyday lives seem to be a constant battle sometimes to actually survive in all sorts of ways. When even our children and family seem to be under attack sometimes, no matter how much we pray, you know, the attack just still seems to come. And you know, you'll find that the closer you get to God and the more you do for God, the more you get attacked. And anybody will tell you that. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah,
it is, isn't it? The more you do and the more you do for God, and the closer you get to God, the more you get attacked. This is what God says, that I will put my peace on you deep inside. And that's the shalom of God. We won't understand it and we won't know how it'll work, but it will work, and it will help. You know, in the struggles of everyday life, we need God's inner peace. You know, the assurance that even when we're going through it, God is in control, that God cares and God is protecting us, even though we can't see it sometimes. God changes things and God changes circumstances that we sometimes can't see ways out of. You know, in the hardest times of our lives, that's when we need God's inner peace the most. That's when we need the shalom all over us. Just want to look at one more verse this morning. This is from the this is from the New Testament, the words of Jesus. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Excuse me, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus brought these words, he's not far away from going back up to heaven. He spent the time with the disciples. He knows the cross is looming and he's very close. And he says these words to his disciples. And to us, in a way, because we're his disciples, aren't we? And all the word of God, it says, is for us to build us up. He says, peace I leave with you, not the type of peace that you can find in the world, but a supernatural peace. That is what Jesus was saying. This is no normal, you know, sitting quiet peace that you can find in the world. Sometimes you get a natural break in your day. You sit down and go, phew. Don't know about you, but I do. You know, if you've got a busy life, you think, wow, I needed that. But he's not talking about that type of peace. He's talking about a supernatural peace that can only come from knowing that God is in charge and God is at move in our lives. Don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You know, that is talking directly about shalom. You know, the full well-being of our inner man and our outer man. You know, Jesus knew that the most important thing that the disciples needed was an inner peace and a confidence for the hard times that was to come, the battles that they were going to have to overcome in their lives. Because if you read, well, you'll have read it, the rest of the story about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the battle that these disciples faced after Jesus had gone back, after they'd lost the man that had changed their lives. And it's exactly the same for us. We need this unexplainable, miraculous peace in our inward self, so that as the battles for our faith and our health and our families and our churches rage, we know without a shadow of a doubt that God's not only in it all, but is in control, and that God can bring this peace and contentment and completeness and wholeness and this well-being and this harmony to our lives, even in the hardest days, even when we're up against it. I'll ask you a question this morning. Do you need some of that shalom in your life this morning? Do you need it every day? I certainly do. You know, the harder the battle, the harder the struggle, the more we need the shalom of God in our lives and in the situations to turn them round for us. If you remember nothing else about this sermon, remember that shalom is an inward peace brought on by allowing God's presence to come deep inside us, allowing God's spirit to come deep inside us. And it's regardless of outside circumstances, we can have shalom and peace in the worst battle of life that we're ever facing, as we let God come into our lives and we let God deal with that situation. Amen. Let's pray.